Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 19, Luke chapter 19. If you remember last week, Jesus was leaving Jericho or coming into Jericho, and there was a blind man there, and the Lord healed him. And so this week, there's another person at Jericho, and he's also blind in one sense because he is short of stature, cannot see over the crowd, and climbs up in that sycamore tree. And so we know this story very good. This is Zacchaeus. And so today's title could be the wee little man, or it could be out on a limb for Jesus, or I think I like better a sycamore saint. And so we'll see how Jesus calls him out of the sycamore tree to follow him in one sense. And so today, hopefully that is your same resolution to follow Christ wherever he calls you. So I'd like to read to you out of the book of Luke chapter 19, beginning in verse 1. It says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was of little stature. And he ran before and climbed up to the sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was going to be the guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost." Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word that gives us hope and direction. Thank you, Lord, for just all the things that you do for us, that you call us and that you save us and set us on that new path. And so, Lord, today I pray that you do that amongst us, that you would convict us of our sins, our iniquities, our shortcomings, our faults, and that you would turn us from ourselves to you, that we may come down out of that sycamore tree and live a life that would please you completely. Lord, I pray for myself this morning that you give me unction and clarity and voice of mind. Let me say those things that are needful and necessary that others may simply hear and know you. Thank you, Lord, for your promise that when your word is read, it will not come back void. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, please take them and hold them up high. Or if you have a phone, you can do the same thing if your Bible's there and repeat these words. This is my Bible. It is God's holy word. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. I'm about to receive the inerrant, infallible, indisputable Word of God. And I will never, never, never be the same. If you believe that, say amen. I'm just telling you, there's something about the Word of God that convicts and changes us in a tremendous way. And I want you to understand about a man named Zacchaeus that had his life changed by the Word of God. You say, well, that's not the Word, it's Christ. Well, if you go to John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so we recognize some great things. I know the outline's a little lengthy. Don't let that scare you. Those are very quick points. I know, I saw some of you look in the bulletin earlier. It's okay. Notice some things first in this passage. One, there's the person of Zacchaeus. The person of Zacchaeus. The Bible gives us many insights about the people that Jesus crossed paths with. And so we recognize there's some things about this man that we need to understand. But also, as you look at Zacchaeus, recognize we may be Zacchaeus. We may look maybe not exactly like him. Some of us may be taller than him. But in a sense, we're all like Zacchaeus. First, notice his career. Notice his career. If you read verse 2, it says, "And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans." And so let me just stop there. If you remember the publican, he's the guy that took up taxes. When the Romans came in, they set up people that would collect taxes from those around them. And so this was a Jewish guy. They thought he would be a traitor. Remember Matthew, he was also a publican. Nobody of the Jews liked a Jewish guy that now worked for the Romans as a publican. And so he was not good in one sense in the eyes of his fellow man. But let me say this, even though the crowds didn't like him, and even though the people around him didn't like him, Jesus still thought enough to have an interaction with him. So let me remind you that Jesus is not bothered by your past. He is not bothered what you have done in years gone by. He does not turn up his nose and walk away. I think about David and Moses and Abraham, all those guys that God was still willing to use. How about 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9? Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor the effeminate, nor abusers themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. Now, I don't know where you started at in life, and I don't know where you are right now, but I'm telling you, Christ wants to move you from where you are to where he wants you to be. And so he's not here to approve your lifestyle. He's here to convict you and guide you and save you that you may live for him. Verse 10 reminds us again, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. Matthew 9:13 says, but go and learn what it means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And so he was not upset with this man being a publican. He still loved him enough to came to him. Now notice not just his career, but now notice his checkbook. End of verse 2, he was rich. He had probably made a great living from people around him. The Romans said, all right, you have a land area of this. I'll just give you a number. We want $10 million from this group of people. And so whatever you want to do, if you want to charge $12 million or $14 million, we don't care. We just want our money. So you have the power and authority to take whatever you want. And so many of those guys made themselves a great living by taxing way above what they could or should. And so it was not good. Again, nothing wrong with being rich unless it becomes your God. If you back up to the previous chapter, notice what it says, Luke 18:24, and he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through that needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And so he was reminding that many of the rich in those days were very self-reliant. Many of those guys served themselves. Zacchaeus was very rich, but spiritually bankrupt. I reminded last week, the blind man was a beggar, and we're going to find that Zacchaeus really is in that same mode, that he has much money, but very little spirituality. Matthew chapter 16, verse 26 says, for what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man exchange for his soul? And that's why the Proverbs writer would say this, which is a good prayer for us, because by the way, almost every one of us in this room are considered rich by the world standard. You may not think so, but when you go to the other parts of the world, I'm telling you, we are the richest people there. Most of us are probably the one percenters of the world. So the Proverbs writer says about this, Proverbs 30, verse 8, remove from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food that is convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee, and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. And so he was a rich man. There's his career, there's his checkbook, but now notice what he is called. Verse 2 says there was a man named Zacchaeus. And so notice Zacchaeus, if you go to the original language there, Zacchaeus, it means pure, bright, clean, to be cleansed. Here's a big problem, though. Here's a man that has a name that is good, but he does not act good. His name said one thing, and his lifestyle said something else. By the way, it doesn't matter what else everybody else calls you. They may see you and say, man, there's a saint of God. There's a brother or sister in Christ. There's a man that lives right. There's a woman that does good. And the Bible does say we're called saints and the children of God, or believers, or followers, or disciples. But it matters what God calls us. And so the Lord desires that we be upright, that we live a lifestyle that honors him, that we had the name Zacchaeus pure and live that way. Zacchaeus had the right name, but the wrong actions. Notice the fourth thing, not just his career and his checkbook and his calling, but his compact size. And this is kind of where it gets kind of interesting. Verse 3 says, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was of little stature. Now, stature can refer to age as well as different things, but here it is this idea of height. He was a short fellow. Now, I'm not a tall fellow. That's why I like Tim and talk so much. Amen. I'm the tallest guy on staff. I like that. And so we find this guy is really vertically challenged. Let me also remind you that the Lord does not care about your physical height as he does your spiritual height. 1 Samuel chapter 16, you remember Samuel's going to anoint a king. God says, I want you to go down to the house of Jesse, and there's some brothers there, and I'll show you the guy, and I want you to anoint the next king of Israel. And so he gets down there, and he picks the guy, and here's what it says. 1 Samuel 16 says, but the Lord said to Samuel, look not on his countenance or the height of his stature, because I refused him. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth, for the man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. So I wonder today, are you big when it comes to the eyes of God? Does he see you as a man or a woman that is fully grown in Christ, a person of great stature, you may say? You say, well, how can we tell? Well, how big is your passion for the Lord? Are you seeking the Lord or something else? How big is your perseverance in serving? Here, I'm just going to tell you the truth here. If you serve the Lord, you're going to get your feelings hurt. Amen? If you serve him and do your very best, you're still going to get your feelings hurt by even, they may not mean it, they may not intend to hurt you, but it's going to happen. But if you're big in stature when it comes to serving and loving the Lord, I'm telling you, you will persevere through that. How big is your prayer life? Somebody rightly said, you are the tallest when you are on your knees. And you can tell how big you are spiritually by what you pray for and by what you don't pray for. Are you a spiritual giant or not? I wonder today what God would see in you. Fourthly, how big is your perception when it comes to serving the Lord? Can you see that God wants to use you? You say, oh, the Lord doesn't want to use me. I'm telling you, he does. I don't care how little you are. I don't care where you're at. I don't care if you come from a small town called Worthington Springs or Lake Butler or wherever. God can still use you. Think about little David was willing to be used by God to do great things. We need to step out by faith. Gideon was a man that had 30,000 troops, and God reduced him down to 300 men before he could be used. Moses, who would lead multitudes in one sense, was really focused on just that small man that would defeat a great Egyptian army. And so we need to be willing to step out and do what God has called us to do great things. Let me give you an example. There was a bridge builder probably a couple of hundred years ago, Charles Elliott. They were going to have a contract to build a suspension bridge across the Niagara River. And he devised all kind of ways to try to get a cable across to build this bridge. He couldn't get anybody with a boat because they'd be swept over the falls. And so finally he had this idea, I'll get somebody to fly a kite over the river with this little string, and then we'll pull a bigger string and then a bigger string, and then finally we'll pull a big cable. And this one young guy was the only guy that was able to fly his kite across the river. One teenager that built or started to build the Niagara Falls Bridge, all because he was willing to be used. I wonder, how do you see yourself? Maybe you think you're the big shot. I'm telling you, we are not, and we cannot be used if we think we're that way. We need to humble ourselves and recognize we need Jesus. It is important to understand that no matter who you are, the Lord is willing to work in your life if you are willing to do the same. So you have the person of Zacchaeus, but now the pursuit of Zacchaeus. The pursuit of Zacchaeus, notice verse 3, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was. Now I'm telling you, there's something about Jesus that kind of drew crowds. I mean, he fed the multitudes, yes. He did signs and wonders and miracles. He did that. He taught on the mountainsides and the plains. Something about Jesus, because he was the Son of God, drew people to himself. Man, how good it was. Multitudes wanted to come see Jesus. So you ask yourself, well, why would Zacchaeus want to see him? Is it just a sideshow? No, I think it was much more than that. Again, Zacchaeus had all the worldly things you can imagine, but something was missing in his life. He had all the things that we think would make somebody happy. He was very rich, the Bible says, and yet there's something truly missing. Zacchaeus needs more than worldly things had to offer. I like what the Bible says in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so notice this, there's going to be the problems of Zacchaeus. It says And verse 3 again, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press. He's going to have a couple of problems. One is a personal issue. Again, Brother Tim, we can relate this, vertically challenged. He was a short guy. He's trying to see over the crowds, and that's not working. But there's going to be another thing. There's the press of the crowd. And so the crowd would not allow Zacchaeus to come through. Why? Because, one, they could not stand Zacchaeus because of what he had done, because he signed up with the Romans. He had a bad lifestyle in one sense. So the good Jewish people around Jesus, nothing to do with him. I'm reminded, if we're not careful, we'll be that same crowd to those that are Zacchaeus that need to find Christ. You say, oh, I would never do that, and I preach on this a lot. It may be when you walk in here that you get a frown on your face, amen. I'm telling you, and I've said this, sometimes you look like you've been baptized in pickle juice, amen. We need to have the joy of the Lord. So I wonder about our frowns. How about our faithlessness? I've discovered something that I'm not going to invite people to church if I'm not coming to church. I'm not going to ask people to come to the Lord's house if I'm not going to be there. I'm telling you, we ought to be faithful. You say, well, I don't need the Lord's house. Not for salvation, but if you want to grow in Christ, you ought to find a Bible-believing church that you may hear and grow in the Word of God. And so if you're not going to be faithful, man, you can't encourage others to be faithful as well. You may think about the failures of the past. You may a failure to put other people first. I'm reminded I went to preach a revival, and I sat down on the front row like I did this morning, and this is a church, I'm not going to call the name of the church, and I was sitting there, and some sweet little old church lady came up to me and says, sir, you were in my seat. I said, I am so sorry. And so I moved on down a little bit. But I'm telling you, if I'd been a visitor, I'd probably not been back at that church. Amen. It matters how we treat others. And that crowd was not treating this man named Zacchaeus very well. So Zacchaeus had problems with his height and with the crowd. But also, notice this, he had a plan to see Jesus. And so notice what he does. He runs for the back row. No, he does not. He runs for the sycamore tree. That was a joke for those guys that when they want to find Jesus, they run to the back row. Amen. I would be a back row Baptist if they would let me, I promise you. And so he runs ahead. And let me also say this. Good Jews never ran. Good Jews, it meant something that was terribly wrong. There was a war. There was something going on. And so when he runs, there's something unusual there. And then he climbs. All I can think about running and climbing is effort. And listen to me clearly now. We are not saved by effort. We are not saved by our running. We're not saved by our climbing. We are not saved by our works. We cannot be saved by the things we do. But let me just tell you, the things we do show what's inside our heart. And so this man knows, hey, I need to see Jesus. So how about your life? What is your plan to see Jesus? Is there any effort to seek the Lord on your part? James says in chapter 4, verse 8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. How about Psalm 63? O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longs for thee in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. What is your plan for drawing nigh to God? What is your plan today for your family to draw nigh and see Christ Jesus? Are you running for the church house? You say, well, do I have to come to church to see Jesus? Well, let me remind you, Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, for where two or three gather together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. He has given us a promise that when the church assembles, he is there. And I don't care if this church or the church down the road, wherever, you ought to be in the Lord's house on the Lord's day when God's people gather, because he is in the midst of us. Zacchaeus recognized Jesus and ran for that place that he could see the Lord. So we go from the person to the plan, but thirdly, now notice the petition of Zacchaeus, or the petition to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is going to be up that tree. Verse 5 says, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. So Zacchaeus had a pretty good plan so far. I don't know how much interaction Zacchaeus wanted with Jesus. whether he just wanted to see him from afar or see him when we walked by or just be able to say to somebody, I saw Jesus and I could almost reach out and touch him. I don't know what his plan was at that point, but let me just tell you, something's going to take place. Notice the calling by name in verse 5. Zacchaeus, have you noticed in the Word of God that many times God calls people by their name? I think about Moses in the wilderness. Moses, Moses. How about Saul on the way to put down Christians? The Lord knows who we are. He knows how to get our attention. He knows those things about us, not just our name. Let me remind you that verse I've already read, 1 Samuel 16. The end of the verse says, for the Lord seeth not as a man seeth, for the man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Jeremiah said this about God knowing people. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. How about Luke 12, verse 7? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are valued of many more sparrows. I'm telling you, he knows us. You say, who? Jesus does. The Lord does. He knows you by name. He knows your activities. He knows your deeds. He knows you. I'm reminded, 2 Peter 3, 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. The reason I read that verse is because you may be like me sometimes, sit back and say, oh my goodness, I know how I am. My life has not been good in the past. I've done some things I'm ashamed of in my past. Oh, the Lord would not want to know me, but he does know us and does love us, and he's not willing that any should perish. And so if you're here this morning, you're in a good place. Zacchaeus is fixing to get saved, and so can you if you'll call on the name of the Lord. So he calls him by name, but notice the second thing, the command to come down. He says, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at your house. Isn't it amazing? Jesus always issues commands. I shouldn't say always, but many times. You know, there's a big difference in seeing Jesus and walking with Jesus. There's a big difference about knowing about Jesus and being with Jesus on that pathway. Come down, Zacchaeus. So many times we find that Jesus calls people into action. Luke chapter 5 says this, and after these things he went forth, saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said to him, follow me. How about in John 9, there's going to be a blind man, and he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. How about Mark 5:19? That was the man that was filled with the demons, and he wanted to follow Jesus. He said, go home and tell thy friends and tell them what good things that I've done unto you. How about Luke chapter 18 when he tells the rich man to go and sell what you have and distribute to the poor? How about in Matthew 28 when he tells us, go ye therefore and teach all nations? I'm telling you, God calls us to be faithful to his voice. You say, well, do I have to do all these? I mean, just remind you, they're not actions of salvation. They're actions of faith. Actions are the evidence of unseen things in our heart. So the question is what is Jesus calling you to do? Is he calling you from something or to something or both in your life today? I'm reminded of the woman at the well. In John chapter 8, verse 11, she said, after this conversation, not the woman at the well, but the woman caught in the very act of adultery. She said, where are your accusers? And she said, no man, Lord. And he said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Why these actions? Because our actions speak what's in the heart, and we should do them. Jesus is calling people to his side. And there are many more people that want to stay in the sycamore tree. They want to be a sycamore saint and just hang out and say, yes, I've saw Jesus. He's walked this way many times, but yet still know Jesus from a distance. And their following is not by his side, but in that tree where they see him. Don't be a sycamore tree saint. Well, notice the third thing in this point, not just his calling and the command, but the compliance of Zacchaeus, the compliance of Zacchaeus. Verse 6, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. He followed the words of Christ precisely. And let me just say, you can't follow Christ on your own terms. You can't do it your way. You must do it His way. And by the way, my way and your way may not be the same. My way and my path may not be the same path. Whatever Jesus calls you to do, that's what you need to do. But all that way lines up in the same way that He's going. What if Zacchaeus said, well, Lord, just keep on going. I'm going to wait till the crowd passes, and then I will catch up with you a little later. What if he said, well, Lord, why can't we just meet at the church? My house is kind of messy. I don't really do that. Lord, my wife's really not expecting anybody else right now, Lord. I'm not sure that's a good idea. What is it that keeps you responding to the call of Christ? What is it this morning that you're saying, well, maybe a little bit later, Lord. Not right now, Lord. Everything's not lined up, Lord. Let me follow you a little later. What keeps you from accepting an invitation of Christ to join Him? Zacchaeus heard the word and followed. I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul, Acts 22, says, now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. Wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Don't tarry when the Lord calls you. What is the Lord calling you to do that you need to simply follow Him? It may be salvation today. I'm telling you, the Lord desires you to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish. There is a command from God for all of us to believe and repent. It may be baptism this morning. You may have already called on Christ and He saved you. And you need to show others in being baptized that we have a pool of water right here. We forgot to take it down. But hey, if you're ready today, we'll take care of you today if you want to. Maybe today it's service and God's called you to serve Him. Maybe it's to forgive others. Maybe it's to a mission field or a pulpit somewhere. Make no mistake, the Lord is calling you to do something. Again, His last words were, go make disciples. There was His calling, His command, His compliance. But now notice the complaining of the crowd in verse 7. The complaining of the crowd. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was going to be a guest for the man that is a sinner. I must say that when you understand these things, it is not good. They all murmured. One, at the sinner himself, they had no love for this man Zacchaeus. They had no mercy. They had no forgiveness. The body of believers should be a people that are willing to accept all kind of people. I don't care what kind of person you are. When you come in this door, you can be changed. We will not approve your lifestyle. We're not saying that. But we want you to understand the goodness and graciousness of God. That your life can be moved from what it is to where God wants it to be just by believing in Christ Jesus. The Lord changes people. So they're upset with the sinner, but also they're upset with the Savior. They're saying, he must not be that kind of guy that we thought he was, hanging out with all those kinds of people. Let me tell you a secret. Jesus doesn't just save people like me and you that look like us and act like us and smell like us and walk like us. He is willing to save all kinds of people. And sometimes that crowd does not like that. The same crowd that doesn't like you, though, is the same crowd that doesn't like the Savior. And there are many churches today that are nearly empty because they don't like the people that Jesus loves. They are focused on themselves and not focused on the Lord. And if we become a church like that, we will wither and perish like many around us have. We must love those that Christ loves. You say, well, what does Jesus think about this guy? Well, I notice he loves him because he's going to interaction, but also think about the heavenly crowd. Luke chapter 15, verse 10 says, likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God when one sinner that repents. And I know the Lord is excited when people come to faith in him. Here's the fourth thing. I told you I'm moving on pretty quick. There's the person, there's the plan, there's petition of Zacchaeus. But fourthly, there is the proof of Zacchaeus' change. There's a change in his heart for others. He says something unusual that we may not quite understand, but he says in verse 8, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. Now, let me say, the Lord did not demand this. The Lord didn't come to Zacchaeus and said, well, if you give half your goods to the poor, we're going to let you in. He didn't say anything about giving, but something changed in his heart. He recognized it was more or no longer just about Zacchaeus, but about his fellow man. You see, when Jesus changes a person, when Jesus comes in, when Jesus convicts a person, when Jesus does something, it changes who we are. That old selfish man becomes one that focuses on others instead of himself. And so we find there is a change. Salvation always affects the selfish nature of man. Perhaps one of my favorite verses is Ephesians 4. It shows this great change. Verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. That verse shows a man that was stealing, but now he has turned out to be giving. Why? Because the Lord has changed his heart. Zacchaeus is a man that wants to give back. But that doesn't stop that. Notice his convictions to make things right. Not just his change, but his convictions. He says in verse 8, the last part, if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore to him fourfold. This goes back to the Old Testament. If you stole and you wanted to voluntarily give it back, you had to add 20%. He goes way beyond that. He wants to make things right. He had a change of heart, and that change of heart opened everything about his life and made it different. He went from a man that wanted to a man that wanted to give. He went to a man that wanted to gather all he could to a man that recognized others were in need. Let me say this statement again. Our salvation is not dependent on our works, but our salvation is evident by our works. James 2:18 says, yea, a man says, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Again, we cannot be saved by what we do. The thief on the cross was nailed there. His hand and feet were nailed fast. He could not do anything, but he got saved. Why? Because he believed in Christ Jesus. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Faith always has a response that demonstrates that it is genuine and believes in Christ. So the question is, have you ever had a life-changing encounter with Christ? Is there anything different about your life because of Christ Jesus? Again, maybe you're in that sycamore tree still, and you've had a great conversation and talked about Christ and all this, but never responded. Why not come down, follow the Lord? You say, well, I'm not real sure he'd be fond of me. I've already mentioned that the kind of people he saves. I'm telling you, he will save anybody that calls upon his name. Notice this last point. Not just the person of Zacchaeus and the plan of Zacchaeus and the petition to Zacchaeus and the proof of Zacchaeus' change, but the pronouncement of Christ. Notice first about the sinner in verse 9. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. The Bible speaks about Christ's mission to seek and save the lost, mission accomplished. Salvation has come to this house. I don't want to elaborate. Here's what I want to say about that, though. Has he come to your house? Has Christ come and met with you and changed your life? Zacchaeus, a wicked man, selfish man, got saved and had a life-changing experience. But notice what it says about the Savior. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. He has come to bring salvation, to rescue the perishing, to redeem the outcast. And so the purpose of that was displayed in Zacchaeus. That purpose is recorded that we might understand who Christ is. And I know we're not worthy, but man, I'm telling you how good it is when we recognize what Christ has done. 2 Corinthians 8:9, I'm almost done. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich. I wonder today what would hold you back from accepting an invitation from Christ calling you from where you are to where he wants you to live a life that would follow him, to live a life that would simply honor him by lifting up the Savior. Somebody wrote these words. I think it speaks about a good change. I counted all my dollars while God counted crosses. I counted gain while he counted losses. I counted my worth by the things gained in store, but he sized me up by the scars that I bore. I coveted honors and sought for degrees. He wept as he counted the hours on my knees. I never knew till one day by a grave how vain are the things that we spend life to save. I didn't know till a friend went above that richest is he who is rich in God's love. Zacchaeus had everything by the world's standards, but he was bankrupt because he did not know Christ. But he leaves, losing some of his worldly riches, but spiritually full with the name and love of Christ in his heart. If you're here today and never accepted Christ, why not today? So here's the invitation today. See where you are and see where Jesus is. Zacchaeus recognized he was a long ways away. He made a plan to run to Jesus. And Jesus knew his heart, made that plan to walk to him, called him down. And man, what a great picture of love, mercy, and grace it is. That same mercy and grace can be displayed in our life if we will call upon him. For the Bible says this clearly, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let that be your prayer today. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes just for a moment. I mentioned salvation. If you're here and never accepted Christ, if God's convicting your heart, why not just walk forward, say, Brother Paul, I need Jesus. Walk down that aisle, come to the front as we sing this song and say, Brother Paul, I need Jesus. What's next? Or maybe you'll say, I've already called on Jesus, and I just simply pray with you. Maybe it's that next step in baptism, and God's wanting you to be baptized to honor him. Maybe it's church membership, and you need to just simply come forward and say, I want to be a part of this church. If you've never been baptized, we'll baptize you. Maybe it's by a church statement from or a like letter from some other church. What matters is you getting involved and serving someplace. Maybe it's this idea of forgiveness of others, that there's a grudge you've held, and you're still in that sycamore tree when it comes to that. You're not wanting to get down and make case and follow Christ in that mercy and grace. Maybe God's called you to do something for him, to serve him. It may be on the mission field. It may be at your workplace. It may be wherever that God wants to use you. And you stood by that tree side and not willing to come down and get involved in that. Why not today commit? Christ committed all to you. Why not commit all to him? Whatever it is this morning, do not leave here without getting right with Christ and doing what he desires. He's saying, come down, follow me. Thank you, Lord, for being good to us. Thank you for your call. Thank you for your word that gives us hope and peace. For the example of Zacchaeus, willing to simply make haste and come down. Let that be our desire today, to follow you in whatever you call us to. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in our walk. Let us simply live for you day by day. Help us now. In the name of Jesus, amen.